Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Justin and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
It's a man in the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
We have a very Brooklyn show for you tonight.
Yeah. How you doing?
Of Brooklyn.
I'm
okay,
fucking welcome
that,
to fucking
not,
Brooklyn
not,
over
no,
here.
That's not that. What, oh. We're not like that.
We're not?
Our guest, I think, maybe that his accent will come out.
Maybe we'll see it. We all are living in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Everyone
not together.
Separately. We all live in a crazy house. You guys will see it. We'll probably talk about it. Pete, what did you do this weekend? Was there anything you witnessed on television or on?
All I did was watch Luke Cage.
Great, the whole time.
The whole time, yeah.
Anybody else?
Luke Cage? Okay. Yeah. All right, Boothman.
Not a lot of hype in the crowd on that.
Dude,
one.
Luke Cage is amazing. You don't know what you're missing, guys.
I guess it was a really nice weekend and people went outside.
What?
I think it was.
What's this outside you
did
speak
you
of?
See the sun or any sort of
no,
outside?
No,
air?
No, oh. I don't know what that is.
God, I would have loved to open the door to your apartment Sunday afternoon.
Oh, yeah. That
what
was
a nightmare.
That's a bad idea.
Just pizza slice ghosts. Full of great. Well, I'm glad you made it out of your hermit life. It's great.
Yeah.
What the audience wants to see. Make sure we got sound on Pete patting his belly, his Luke Cage belly. Enough about that before, as these people start to leave, let's welcome our guest. Very excited to have him here. A great friend of the show, Mr. Dean Haspiel.
Yeah, welcome back, Dean. Welcome back, sir.
Please. Come on down.
Put your shirt on.
We used to do a sort of a very nude version of the show. So
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you thought we were whipping out our guts?
Heard a belly pat and was ready to go. Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
We're a very touchy-feely show. That's why you got to come see us tape.
Yeah, that's why the live show is really different. Yeah. You don't know if we're going to be wearing shirts or what's going to happen.
But you could probably hear that I was shirtless, right?
Yeah. It sort of gives off a high-pitched whine out of your body.
A lot of dogs are running around right now.
Exactly. Your chest is a dog whistle to everybody
that's
out
right.
there. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You've been on the show multiple times.
Yes, I have.
In the many years
yes,
you've been doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You were saying earlier that maybe the first time you were wearing some sort of Jesus shirt.
I was wearing, I don't know why, like the one time I ever wore something like that, and I think it was during the Activate days, and it was a whole group of us came out. You know, Webcomics Collective.
Yeah.
And I guess I was feeling my guru oats, you know, or something like that. And I came out with this long, it was almost like a muumuu or a dress.
Yeah.
You know, and I was feeling very Jesus.
And so. you died on the show for our indie comic sins.
That's right, for your indie comic sins. For Warren Ellis alone.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who I think we're going to talk about tonight. Right?
We may get into it a little bit. Yeah. But let's talk about you first.
Yes.
Since you've already taken your clothes off for us. Let's talk about the Red Hook first out of the gate. New book. Look at this pristine little beauty.
I'm really happy with
it. A little
bit
of a Brooklyn joke there.
I don't see a lot of names on this book.
There's one important name on there, I think. Oh, you mean in terms of...
I mean just you.
Just me, because only I did it.
Yeah, wow. So tell us
that's
about
impressive.
That. Well, tell us about the book, for those of us who don't know.
For those of us, or for y'all who don't know, The Red Hook is a webcomic I've been doing at Line Webtoon for a couple years. This image print version comprises the first season, as well as some short stories I did at Dark Horse Presents.
Awesome.
And folks who kind of remember Dark Horse Presents, I've always wanted to be in that since Sin City debuted.
Miller's
Sin City.
That had to be a great moment then.
Which was amazing, yeah. And actually, so I've always wanted to be, and I love anthologies. You know, they don't always sell or always work necessarily, but I love the concept of them.
Real comic readers, I love anthologies too, because you get to see, like, even those, like, Christmas stories or, like, anything.
Whatever it is. You know,
creators.
Or DC specials or Marvel specials, right? And nowadays, it seems that a lot of anthologies are now used for, like, benefit comics or, you know, to deal with protest or something like that, which is also really cool. In fact, they just announced the Ringo Awards, and mine, the anthology, just got nominated, as well as
That's awesome.
War Cry, which is season two of The Red Hook, which if you get this book and you read this and you want more, you can go online and read the sequel for free. But let me just explain real quickly what The Red Hook
is. You're giving
please,
it away.
Please,
yeah, I'm just giving it away. And then selling to you in print. The Red Hook is a super thief that's forced to become a superhero against his will or he will die during a time where Brooklyn reveals herself to be sentient And she is heartbroken by the apathy and indifference of the world, and decides to literally and physically secede from New York, ergo America, to start her own republic. And it creates a cosmic pandemic of new heroes and villains. And also, and this is part of my fantasy, it also encourages bartering of art for food and services, which is partially why I came up with this idea, is because it's really difficult to be an artist in New York City.
Yeah, I mean, we're like 6 weeks from this becoming reality.
Oh, my God. Brooklyn. Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, I mean, listen. You're familiar with Jack Kirby?
Yeah.
Know. Most of the comics you read are Jack Kirby inspired.
Yeah. It's like Kirby from Nintendo.
Yeah, that's right.
It's first name Jack.
Different from that.
Jack Kirby's Dreamland.
That's right.
Official full title.
You're better than that.
No.
I mean, obviously, your audience knows that Jack Kirby is the co-creator of the Marvel Universe and a bunch of other characters at DC. Yeah. But what was really cool and what I started to notice is that, you know, they take one panel he's done and turn that into miniseries now, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of his ideas are prescient. Like, they start to come true. Kind of like original Star Trek with the communicators is now how we are our phones, you know? You start putting out these funky ideas and they start to become realistic. So with that in mind, I was thinking about, well, let me shove some ideas in the Red Hook. Like trading my art, you know, something scribbled on a napkin for a root canal or something, which actually did happen.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't a scribble on a napkin. I had to get a root canal, and I couldn't really afford it, and I was talking to the dentist, and he was a big comic book fan. I was like, well, I draw comic books.
Oh,
and he's like, well, if you draw me as a superhero, I was like, bet. Let's do this.
Oh, free root canal?
And I got it. Well, see what I got for that? I got a root canal. That's what I got.
Which is a nightmare.
It is. It is. But anyway, I was able to trade.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Really? That's a good dentist. I hope
so.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or was
cool
it someone dentist. In a bar you met? It was like, I'm a dentist.
Wait a second.
Yeah, I'm a dentist.
Yeah, give me some of that.
Set it on his hat.
Yeah. Oh, very Brooklyn to have your profession on your hat.
I would like to go back to the book real quick.
Yes.
You sent it to us early. We got to read it. Really amazing. Also, I really love the relationship stuff in this.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
like you. Really great. I love the main character's kind of voice and his point of view.
Thank you.
When you can understand that and follow, it just makes everything else, all the madness that happens, you know.
So there's a lot of absurdity, you know, because of the trappings of superhero stuff. And to me, the superhero encompasses it all. It's got crime, it's got science fiction, it's fantasy, it's romance. But the thing, the actual glue for me is the relationship stuff.
Yeah.
Because the other stuff doesn't matter as much, you know, unless you care about these characters and what they're going through. And often, you know, it's just a classic to have like a, this isn't Romeo and Juliet, but you know, you have to have that conflict of romance.
Never
you know?
Say that. Never say that this isn't Romeo and Juliet.
They're all Romeo and Juliet.
How do you feel? We talked about it earlier for a sec. How do you feel totally driving this yourself? I mean, that's a bit of a change, and it's a lot.
Because normally you can draw something, then yell at your writer, or vice versa.
Right. So for many
years,
yelling
at yourself in the mirror now.
Well, I'm facing the man in the mirror. And it's kind of a beautiful experience, actually.
Oh, wow.
I should have worn my Jesus outfit today.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've been known for drawing other people's stories or other character franchise characters, and working with Harvey Pekar in American Splendor or the graphic novel The Quitter, you know, which is, you know, his origin story, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. There was working with Jonathan Ames on The Alcoholic, which actually is coming out. The 10th anniversary edition is coming out through Berger Books, Karen Berger's publishing imprint, through Dark Horse in the fall.
Yeah.
So we're having a reprint of that with a new cover and some new pages.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I've worked on other autobio stuff. And like I said, with a lot of other writers, or my run on the Fox, for instance, for Archie, I did 10 issues, 2 5-issue miniseries. But all I did was plot it, which is, you know, the heavy lifting. And then I got my friend Mark Wade, who's an amazing writer, to write the dialogue on top of the story that I drew.
Nice.
But for many, many years, I would draw this project. It would take like a year or so, whatever. And then the critics come out, and they all talk about the writer, the story. And then at the end, it's illustrated by Dean Haspiel.
Just where you want it. Right
what the hell,
end.
Man? I did all this work, and that's just my little nod, you know? Or they might say something like one sentence. And, you know, I was getting really bothered by that. And I started to feel, well, maybe I'm not confident as a writer. But then I started to realize I am writing because in comics, image is text too,
yeah.
right? So you are a co-author as the artist of a comic book.
Sure.
So
sure.
I'm adding a lot of other nuance, you know, with the visual information. Often I might even be pacing it or choosing, you know, the stuff that gets drawn it to complement the words because, you know, comics is a marriage of words and pictures, right? So I decided, well, maybe I am kind of a writer, you know? And I was blogging on LiveJournal for a while, and that's where I started to activate this Webcomics Collective. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I am talking. I'm not shy to you know, expose myself or be vulnerable or whatever, as you noticed as I walked out through the
I know, it seems like you really have a hard time being vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's because I'm really shy.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's
what
abundantly
it comes
clear.
So, and anyway, so I was like, wait a second. I actually am writing as an artist. So why don't I just put, you know, just do this. Actually attempt this stuff. And so little by small, throughout the years, I might get a little four-pager here, six-pager there. And finally, and then I did some comics called Billy Dogma online as well,
right,
and
yeah.
published a couple little things. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to continue this and hope for the best. So I'm enjoying a really autonomous space right now where I'm writing, drawing, lettering, coloring, doing everything
wow.
on characters and I own building these worlds and getting paid. Like, I am living the dream.
That's the dream.
Congrats. It is the dream. Although, I'm living in Brooklyn. And so
well,
I still
live saying against Brooklyn. Hey, what come
Brooklyn.
On over here?
But I'm always 2 months away from living in the street, you know, yeah. because of that.
Oh, that's the beauty of any part of New York City.
Yeah. It's the struggle, right?
Yeah.
It's the struggle.
That struggle's real.
That's you right. want to be stressed the fuck but, out all the time.
What's your favorite part about owning the whole process? Like,
well, I mean, owning it is probably the best because yeah. you know whether you like it or not, it's mine, right? And so I'm doing it for me. Sorry, folks. Mm-hmm. But my favorite part of the process is once I figure out the story idea, the hardest part is also my favorite part, which is the layouts. Okay? So after I've written it, and I just spent 6 weeks writing the third part right now. So we have the Red Hook in New Brooklyn. The second one's the Red Hook War Cry, right?
Yeah.
And the third one is going to be called Star Cross. And oh, it goes
Romeo and Juliet, like I said.
Yeah. Little, well, star crossed. That's yeah. right. Yeah. So you,
I know. I'm a classically
like
trained
this.
Actor.
You are.
I'm a classically trained actor.
And we do this.
We
right?
do this. We,
right.
You and me? Yeah. Are we star crossed?
Doing this?
Are
we star-crossed?
Oh my God! Who's gonna die on who?
Yeah,
spoiler
Wait,
for the end of Romeo
who's
and Juliet.
Die on who?
Yeah, yeah,
I love
that's what
that.
He said.
On who?
Am I Romeo or am I Juliet?
We will find out.
Oh man! And you're like the apothecary.
It'll be a twist ending.
Sure.
It'll be a twist.
It's gonna be a twist. Yeah, exactly. Maybe we both die, or maybe we both live. Fuck this.
Hey, that's right. Why?
Why?
I mean, they always say you introduce a gun, it's got to go off, right? It's got to shoot it. Maybe not with us.
Not with us, exactly.
Right?
We shoot the gun in the air and have some fun.
No, we introduce life, but do we have to die?
Exactly. Why do we have to die? Audience, why are you killing us?
Too much dying, especially in our Marvel and DC comic books. Don't they kill people every other week?
Yeah.
And then resurrect
they come back
them
a week later.
And then you say grow back?
Yeah, they grow back.
I like that they grow
like
back.
Like a little bacteria germ situation.
They figure it out every time, don't they? How to bring them back. So anyway, I'm really excited. It's an autonomous time for me right now. I'm living the dream, and the point is to try to get this book into people's hands because other folks I talked to are like, are you crazy to bring a superhero during the Marvel Cinematic Universe right now and the DC, you know, television shows and everything? I was like, yeah, I'm pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, what you got?
Why not? You know, like, listen, if people like this genre and this stuff, these superheroes, that means it's creating a hunger for it, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe does a good job of like, well, you can just check out our stories and you'll get it, you know, and they have done a really good, but if you go to the comics, sometimes it's a little hard to navigate, like the history,
the
continuity.
There's some density to that? Like when you pick up an issue of Infinity Countdown and it's like, who the fuck are these people?
What's going on? Like, and they slap a number one on it and you still don't know what's happening?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So, but with that in mind, it means that you can really hop on right at the very beginning with this kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I know Lion Forge is doing it with Catalyst Prime. I don't know if you cover that stuff at all. But, you know, they're trying to do superheroes as well.
Yeah.
I'm not shy about it. Although I'm shy coming out on stage.
No, it didn't seem like
shirt.
Seem like you were shy about that either.
Well, very you know shy. You've made it as a writer when you can go into a dentist and write a little poem for a root canal.
Well, that's what you would do? Do you have one handy?
dentist tools or a poem?
A poem.
Okay.
A poem.
I have a couple
dentist
poems.
Tools. Do you have a dentist tool?
I'm a dentist.
That it says it right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And a couple of that. I mean, your book's Red Hook. You have some art on display in a perhaps the most famous Red Hook bar.
So my bar, and the one I only go to anymore these days because I'm busy. So when I finally escape my art table and laptop, I go to a bar in Red Hook called Sonny's Bar. Anybody familiar with that?
It's I know it very well. As a I used to live over there, and I drink at B61, if you know that bar.
Yep.
But we would make field trips out to Sonny's.
Sonny's is the best. It's like you're walking into the past, you know.
Truly.
It's on the waterfront, and there's the Statue of Liberty in the water over there, and it's a beautiful space. And I'm not a religious person, but I it's very spiritual for me. I go back, and like on Saturday nights, they have freestyle bluegrass, and I just go in there, and I soak in the past and in this kind of zone, you know, where I just steep in it, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, that's my favorite bar, and I now have an exhibition going on for the next 4 or 5 weeks of my artwork hanging up on the walls in the back from the Red Hook, which is a lot of fun. And also, last week, I went to the opening of the New York Transit Museum. They're doing a show, an exhibition called Underground Heroes.
Nice.
And they're showing over 100 artists' comics involving the subway system dating back to the early 1900s in the comic strips all the way through our modern comics, including Marvel and DC and a lot of independent stuff. And I have some Red Hook art up in there as well. And it's also been shown on TV.
I
love it because they're like, and Brooklyn's very own Red Hook is also in the show. And I'm like... Wow. Represent.
Yeah. That's your quote. Shirtless.
Yo, represent.
Cool. Way to put yourself out there. So you could really make a whole Dean Day walking around Red Hook.
Yeah, the walking tour. Of Red
I could do that.
Pick up this at a conference.
In fact, I could probably even do, including Warcry and then eventually with Starcross, I could probably take a day where I take you to different spots in Brooklyn and show you what's in the book. And then you can even get a bus. Should we get a bus?
Yeah, let's get a bus.
Yeah, let's
do open
a bus.
Top.
Yeah, open top.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely,
right.
Man.
Let's do that.
Weather dependent a little bit, but I'll tell you what, this isn't a bad idea because you get a drink at Sonny's.
We would maybe start at Sonny's and then end at Sonny's.
Yeah, I love it.
Smart.
Right?
Yeah. Maybe never even leave. To a short little tour.
I just show you the comic book.
Yeah,
right?
All right, just sit down. Let's read it. I'll take two more.
That's right.
Great. Let me know when you're, I'll be a customer.
I'm going to count on you to launch that with me.
Great. Oh, great. So we just started a business.
Awesome.
We just started a business.
Yeah.
Great. It says it on my hat.
Yeah. I started a business. That's you right. And everyone in the world. Great. Well, definitely check out the Red Hook. Where else should they check you out?
Dean Haspiel. I'm the only guy that has that name. .com. Or just type my name in or throw a stone at the internet. You'll find me.
Yeah. It's impressive how your name comes up.
So many LePages out there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot.
There's also an evil Pete LePage in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, that I will find and destroy.
Wow.
Oh, just for having your name? What makes him evil?
Because he says I'm evil.
It's
your arch nemesis.
Well, his point was I have facial hair that makes me the evil one. I was like, fuck you,
fair.
Clean cut.
You know, that used to be, wait, is that still true? That used to be true in like our television shows in the 60s and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think when Captain Kirk went evil, did he get a little facial hair? Remember when he had his dark side? He had a 5 o'clock shadow, I think.
I feel like it's flipped, and now clean shaven. They're the bad guys.
That's what I feel, too.
Yeah. Oh, no, but they're pure evil.
Yeah.
That's just evil. Yeah. Clean shaven's pure evil.
Wow, what's good anymore?
Yeah,
like full
question.
Beard?
5 o'clock. Yeah, the
5 o'clock shadow? Yeah. That's the most evil of all.
Is that? Yeah.
Great.
I think it's just women are good.
That's true.
Great. Check out Dean's stuff. And in the meantime, we're going to move on to a little section we like to call The Stack.
Yeah. Yeah.
In The Stack, we're going to talk about some comics that came out this past week. Go to bat for them. First up, we have Tony Stark, Iron Man #1. Kicking off Dan Slott's run with art by Valerio Chiedi, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yep.
Iron Man is back. Tony Stark is back as Iron Man. He's really feeling his oats in this issue.
Yeah, he is. It's classic Iron Man, kind of like Tony Stark.
Oh, he seems so excited.
Hey, it's Tony's here. Hey, how you doing? But I don't know why I went right back in the Brooklyn thing there.
I think you can't escape it. You're trapped.
But I love this book for a couple reasons. One, I love LaCosta. I was very happy that she's back. And also...
LaCosta, explain who that is. It's the robot, Jocasta.
Jocasta Pym.
The robot who married Hank Pym, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
And is just palling around with Tony Stark, running the Department of Robotics, I guess. For him.
Yeah, and also Fing Fang Foom. Ugh. I mean, I'm a sucker. Every time Fing Fang Foom shows up.
Very aggressive claps for Fing Fang Foom in the crowd.
Fing Fang Foom is my jam.
A classic Tony Stark villain that we haven't seen in a while.
Can you help me out with something? You say he's back, Iron Man. I haven't been reading a lot. I know there was that Doctor Doom Iron Man, was that called?
Infamous Iron Man.
Which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But what happened to Iron Man that he's now back?
He was in a coma, and then I think his body was destroyed.
Yeah.
And then he has a new body. And he's back. Like you were talking about, he grew back.
He grew back.
And here he is, and he's having fun. He doesn't seem like he's much the worst
old
for
Tony
wear.
Again, yeah.
Does he know that he grew back, or is it just...
He does.
Okay.
He knows this
aware.
Is a brand new body. He gets a little banged up in this issue, and they're like, hey, man, you just got that body back. Chill.
Is he's he like, a young version, or the same age that he died at?
I mean, it's hard. If you grow in a new body, shave a couple years off.
Okay, sure.
Like, why are we getting us back into this old body?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really address that. He looks very young. This is, it feels like...
He looks younger. He does.
He says he doesn't have herpes anymore.
Great. He does say that
that's
a lot
cool.
in the issue.
Oh, thanks for
almost
pointing that out.
He doth protest too much. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But he's like Iron Man, the first movie sort of Tony Stark, I believe, is what they're going for. And Dan Slott is writing this now. It feels very much like Spider-Man. It's... Tony Stark is Peter Parker when he's running the big corporation. He's having fun. He's solving crimes. The issue revolves around a kid from Tony's youth that he was way better at programming robots than, and he brings him into the new company.
So it's like Iron Man 3?
A little bit, yeah.
A little Shane Black kind of inspired, maybe?
Could be a little bit. Yeah, I feel like they're just sort of like, it seems like fun is the watchword here.
Right.
And Fing Fang Fun. I guess is what they were going for.
Yeah. Fing Fang Fun.
Fing Fang Fun.
I like that.
Man, put it on the cover. Right?
You're really proud of yourself for that.
I mean, I don't know. It's pretty good.
Driving me fucking crazy.
Oh, you don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like to see you happy.
You like this? You don't like to see me happy? That's not a friend.
Yeah.
You like this book, though?
I do.
You ready to go to bat for it?
Yeah.
Great. Okay,
you don't like it?
No, it's good. It's fun. If reading it, though, I'm dying for Iron Man pared down to...
first issue, dude. He's come out hot. He's excited to be alive again.
He's in a giant robot suit. He's in a very tiny robot suit. He's in every other different robot suit.
It's first issue, man.
So I want to take it back where he doesn't have robots. Like, let's see if he can do it with just regular tools.
Oh.
Like a carpenter.
Yeah.
Is there a little extremist Iron Man in here?
They don't use that word, and I think they're sort of like, we've maybe done...
No more internet Iron Man?
It feels more
Iron Man.
It feels going more back to an armor.
All right.
An armory Iron
But you
Man.
Feel like maybe the cast is too big with these Iron Men?
There's
Iron
just
robots.
So many suits. It's like, well, what is this? That's always my thing with Iron Man. Is like, if he can get in any, like, he has 50 different suits.
Listen, I miss the nose when he had the nose.
Right. How does he breathe?
Through the nose.
That's what I'm talking about. How's he breathing now?
He can't. Yeah, he has to keep taking off his helmet.
That's why he keeps changing suits. He's like, oh, God, I'm dying.
It's so hot in this thing.
It is fun, so definitely check that out. Let's move on and talk about The Wildstorm number 14 by the earlier mentioned Warren Ellis.
Warren Ellis. Thank you.
I hand it to you if you want to have a page
check it
through.
Out.
Now,
illustrated by John Davis Hunt with Stephen Buccelletto.
That's great.
I really like this issue. It kind of reminded me of the old G.I. Joe issues where Snake Eyes would go up against Storm Shadow and there was no talking. It was all fighting. We got a couple really amazing fight sequences in this.
It's a very specific.
I don't like all the jibber-jabber in my comics, you know? Sometimes I just want to sit there and enjoy the art and the action.
And Warren can jibber-jabber.
Oh, yeah, he can.
There's a lot of that in here, and that's fun, too, though. because that's as we talked about.
Well, earlier, we're saying medium. Two opposite things. I'm saying I liked it because there wasn't a lot of wording, and then you're turning around saying there was a lot of wording. So yeah. What the fuck, man?
It's because you didn't read the words. You just looked at the pictures.
Yeah, sure, you're damn right I did.
Oh, nice.
There is some fighting.
You're
going to
love movies.
You think?
Yeah.
Cool. Can't wait.
You can just turn the volume down.
Yeah.
Put it on mute.
Just the old mute button.
Yeah, that's
goes
fun.
A long way.
Yeah, it's a great way to really understand what's happening in any situation.
Yeah, it really is.
Just not listen and watch.
Yep. It's gotten me this far in life.
Has it? So in this, I feel like Warren Ellis has quietly carved out this great, weird world in this Wildstorm universe that there's not much. There are like three titles maybe in this DC corner of the universe.
In fact, one of my studio mates, N. Stephen Harris, is the illustrator, the penciler for Michael Cray.
Michael Cray, yes.
Which is one of the comics in the Wildstorm
the
universe.
The second one. But yes. There's a great fight where Zealot is running through a building, and the gunplay in this comic, in the whole series, is very well done, very
fantastic.
Balletic, very cool. But also, like, Warren Ellis does a good job. He's like one of the most specific writers out there. Yes. He like is his word choice, what he's writing toward, the what characters are relating to each other about, and how is very interesting. And I like, if you like Warren Ellis, this is like peak Warren Ellis.
And yep. I would even hazard to say that it has hints of Planetary. You know, which
definitely.
Is my favorite Warren Ellis.
Definitely. Stormwatch, you know? it lives in an orbiting satellite situation.
Yeah.
And it definitely has that vibe of like, these are world-spanning heroes, villains, and they are operating together and separately. And
yep.
It's just a big mishmash.
Yep.
Mishmash of no one knows what's going on, and we get to go on for
that. And it's a little over halfway done, because it's a 24-issue story.
That's
you can
end.
See right on the cover, which is nice.
Yep.
Hey,
it's nice to see where you are in that story,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
You're right in the middle.
Yeah.
Every month, you push the needle.
Oh, shit. Wow, dude. Man, you should write copy for energy drinks.
Or just... I should
every
maybe.
Sip, you push the needle. That should be a drink. Let's move on.
It's for heroin addicts.
Great. If only that could just really be more popular.
Oops. If only.
Let's move on with Pete's pick, Daredevil number 604.
Yes.
Man, they are up there in the numbers.
Yeah.
Hard to keep track of these numbers on the cover.
No, it's not. Charles Soule. Is writing this. He is doing an amazing job.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about this guy? Who is this Daredevil?
So Daredevil,
is he some sort of motorcycle rider?
You're an asshole. So he is currently the mayor of New York City.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. Fun fact, Daredevil is mayor. And he's fighting, you know, the... I almost said the foot, the hand.
So you're close, but not quite. I'll give you a quick recap just to catch you up on that. Daredevil has a sidekick who lost his eyes. He went to China to get his eyes back. He was trapped by the Beast in a pit for many weeks. He came back to New York City after beating them, and he
blind spot.
Yes, and when he came back, Wilson Fisk had been elected mayor. He became deputy mayor as Matt Murdock, even though Daredevil he made superheroes and supervillains illegal. Big fight went on there. Then the hand showed up, killed Wilson Fisk, or almost killed him, and then. Daredevil took over as mayor. Matt Murdock is juggling mayor duties and superhero duties.
Yeah, we're pretty much we're convinced that he's dead. Kingpin is dead.
Yes. Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah. Dean, take it easy.
Dean, take it easy.
Yeah,
there's a character growing back right now. Yeah. Oh my God, they can hear you. They can hear that high-pitched squeal. Yeah. In this issue, or in last issue, the hand has released this horrible gas that is poisoning everybody, and this dude shows up, and he's like, hey, Foggy, ironically named with a fog of death going around the city, finally, his name means fucking something.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah.
Foggy LePage over here.
Wait, it means fuck you, Foggy?
No, I'm just mad at him because he always shits on Foggy.
Pete's like a Pokemon named fuck you, and then that's often all he says.
Yeah, yeah.
So his priest shows up with his... he's got a killer priest.
Yeah, he's got a sick priest,
sick
bro.
Priest.
Dude, if you don't have a sick priest, you don't know what you're doing.
This priest has a cadre of elite Catholic soldiers. That,
as you do.
That are blessed in an airplane by another, like a cardinal, and then they jump out of the plane and just wreck
They're
shit.
Like ninja priests, I guess, or...
Yeah, like sort of Knights Templar. Yeah. They go to bat for Daredevil and to help drive out the hand, but who shows up right at the end? But Wilson Fisk holding...
Spoiler, you did.
It's a spoiler, who is holding like so many fluid bags, because he's a big guy.
And he comes he needs into a lot the mayor's of liquid. Office, he's like, get
he
out of my chair.
He needs a lot of liquid. He's like, get out of my chair.
Yeah. Also, a great moment with Daredevil with a sword, just fucking shit up old school samurai style, which is great.
He spent some time doing that.
Yeah, he did.
I think this is a fun... I feel like Charles Soule right now is really having fun with this book. He's like, Daredevil's into Catholic shit. Let's take that all the way to the top of the flagpole.
I do wonder if he got inspired by with the priest ninjas. You ever see a movie Dead Alive?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, a zombie movie, right?
Yeah. But they
isn't
were like,
there a priest that like does kung fu?
Yeah, I feel like in that movie they were like, let's just do whatever.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
It's an amazing film. Please watch Dead Alive. You horror aficionados.
Now, you were hanging out with...
So, I was hanging out, actually, and I pulled out my phone for this. Last weekend, I was at Denver Comic Con. It was my first time there. It's an amazing place. And it took 3 days for me to realize, why is everybody so nice?
Oh, wow. 3 days?
3 days. Wow. And then it hit me.
Y'all high. You. Yeah. That's where legal.
The fog that is encompassing
that fog
Denver.
Wasn't killing nobody. I was like... All right, that's cool. You know, everyone's just very chill.
You're like, why is the vibe so nice here?
It's such a nice vibe. And it was so disconcerting at first because as a New Yorker, I'm like,
fuck you, get out of my way.
The shoe's about to drop. They're going to kill me. I'm being trapped, you know? But no, they're just chilling.
They're just chilling.
So I was hanging out at Denver Comic Con, and at night I would hang out with some of the other cartoonists and writers, and I was hanging out with Batman and Daredevil. I mean, Tom King, the writer of Batman. Charles Soule.
I like the idea
writer,
that that's
Daredevil.
How you guys talk to each other.
That's how we talk
like,
to each
hey,
other.
Hey, Batman's here.
Hey, Batman, what's up?
That's right.
Yeah.
And then Jody Houser and a whole bunch of, yeah, great.
Fantastic.
And a whole bunch of cartoonists. It was really cool. And then as the drinking commenced, at one point on a bar napkin, I asked Charles to draw Batman. And he's a writer. And he said, I can't draw at all. I was like, well, that's exactly why you should draw.
Yeah.
You know, I can't. And so I'm going to ask you to describe what you're looking at here. This is Charles Soule's Batman.
It's like a Rorschach test. Wow, it is very simple. It's a man with a sort of a stick figure with a terrified look on his face. The biggest bat ears I've ever seen.
What about those feet?
Feet are like these make Rob Liefeld's feet look good.
Yes.
And for some reason, Batman has what I believe is a bat dick.
That's right.
Hanging down.
That's right.
And he finished that, I'm assuming, and then signed it.
Well, it's funny because he handed it to me. I said, and
he wrote Batman. He wrote Batman in big letters on it.
And
just to be clear,
like the Batman logo from the cartoon series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, no, you have to sign this, so we can, you know, scrutinize you officially. So yeah, that's. And then what's that? Do you think those are horns?
It's something very demonic. Well, he looks stressed out. I got to say,
he looks a little stressed. That's true.
I feel like that's reflecting Charles's stress with having to draw a Batman for you.
Probably.
He's like, oh,
it was.
Fuck, I hate this.
Actually,
I'll draw a dick. I don't know what I'm doing. Please take this pen out of my hand.
My challenge sobered him. And this is what happened.
He's like, I'm going to bed.
I'm going to bed now.
Great. Well, I'm sure he's going to be super excited to hear that you're showing that picture to people. And guys, that's it for the stack. Yeah. Let's move on to our favorite section. It's our favorite because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, I'm going to step out. If you have a question for any of us, please raise your hand. It can be anything at all. It can be for Dean. It can be for Pete. He'll swear at you. Yes, you, sir. You're right here. Please tell us your name and your question.
Kevin, certainly there's a long history with comics in New York City.
Right.
And Red Hook made me think about comics with specific neighborhoods. And, of course, some neighborhoods are, very well represented in comics. What are some of your favorite comics that maybe really connect to maybe neighborhoods that aren't in a whole lot of titles? Or neighborhoods that you think should have a title, and what would it be?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, first of all, there are characters in the Red Hook like the Green Point.
Yeah.
You see what he's doing?
There's a character called Benson Hurst. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took some of the names.
Very creative.
And yeah, I'm a cornball. Yeah. But I made it work. And his mom is the Coney. Anyway, but I think what it was is growing up, between Marvel and DC, DC had Metropolis and Gotham, and then there were other Center City, you know, all these kind of, you know, fake names, right? And I was attracted more to Marvel, I think, because Peter Parker lived in Queens. You know, the Fantastic Four were in Midtown. Doctor Strange was on Bleecker Street. And it made it feel more real to me. And so I feel like that was something that, that tipped the balance between the two. And also because DC Comics, most of the heroes have father issues or something, right? Like, after a while, I got a little, come on already.
Yeah, chill, you know,
like, geez. But
Brooklyn came out a little bit. You see, I was like, come on.
What are you doing?
Forget about over here.
And then even Marvel went on to do West Coast Avengers. You know, like, they think about their geography. And I do think that helps, you know, place you, you know, and makes, like, if the absurdity is the characters and the situations, even though they might be commenting on things in the world, to firmly, you know, plant a foot in a space that we know makes it feel a little more real, you know? So I do think about that stuff, and I do always appreciate that when I see it in a comic. What about you guys?
Would you have a favorite comic outside of that that is very much indicative of that place? I'll answer it while you're thinking. The first one that jumped to mind was the comic DMZ from Vertigo from a few years back.
Yeah, that was great.
That was all about Manhattan and a little bit of Brooklyn and the Bronx and Queens neighborhoods, and how in this post-apocalyptic New York, how everyone starts to identify very much with their neighborhood and sort of how that changes and what it does to people.
Scalped probably is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Yeah.
And that takes place on an Indian reservation, I believe. And
Jason Aaron
wrote that. R.M. Guerra and other artists that drew the book. And it might still be my favorite, like, all-time series, you know, forever. And talk about heartfelt. Oh my God, it's grueling.
The characters in that book are going through hell constantly.
Constantly. And it's got a beautiful ending, you know? Like, it all works itself out in some way, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's titles that jump out to you, like Southern Bastards and stuff like that, that where, you know, it's really a part
all
of
about the place.
Yeah. But also there was, like, the Authority, I think it was it Hawksmoor, where the dude, like, was, like, part of the city, and the city would move to help him and stuff like that.
But you're reminding me.
I wish New York would do that for us.
Yeah, I know.
You remind me of the second Sony picture Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
Amazing Spider-Man.
Now, the Amazing Spider-Man. Do you remember? And I remember a lot of people thought this was corny, but I was like, this is a Spider-Man comic. Is when he needs to get to the villain, and he has to cross town, and everyone sees Spider-Man, and they help him get across town with cranes and this and that. And I was like, that's awesome.
That's New York.
That's New York City.
Like Crockett Al Dundee, where he walks on top of everybody in the subway station.
Yeah, both equally believable.
That's right.
Anybody else have a question? You, sir, come on down. I only have a mic cord that goes so long.
Question for Dean. Your work was also in the City of the Museum of New York.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple years ago.
Which I didn't get to.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm an idiot.
They had the George Reeves Superman costume in the glass case. It was great.
Wow.
But as an artist, and you said you've drawn for other authors.
Yes.
Maybe as you as an author, when you draw something, has an author come back to you and said, I didn't see it that way. I want to take the story differently. Or is the script kind of locked when you get it? Or have you drawn something that you step back and go, oh wait, this is this, I see a vein of story I can go on.
Well, do you mean like, do I take liberty, as it were, with another writer's story and then take
else? But you're given a parameter, which you draw a picture, you draw art,
right?
And then
right.
they see it. And maybe they didn't see it as that.
Well, the usual thing that a writer says is, that's exactly the way I pictured it. And like, no, it isn't. There's no way. I know what I was doing different from your script.
So
you know?
They don't come back and go, wow, I didn't see it that way.
Right.
I want to go this way.
Yeah, no, usually I've had a really successful collaboration with you know, with my co-authors and writers. Once in a blue moon, I might interpret something wrong. You know, God forbid. I'm only human. But yeah, no. Usually, it's been pretty good. A good collaboration. And you know how they say, like, 90% of great directing is great casting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you can find a couple people willing to yield to each other's virtues, as I like to say. Then, you know, you have something going on, and you're making this kind of thing together that you couldn't do on your own, you know? And that is why I encourage for artists who, right out the gate, who, like, want to be this auteur. I'm like, you know what? First of all, start small. Don't do your 400-page magnum opus right out the gate. Do some short stories. See if that works. Those are actually harder to do. Also, collaborate. Because you're going to start drawing stuff that you wouldn't write for yourself because, you know, you want to keep it a little bit easier, you know? And when you are drawing someone else's story, you know, you're pushing yourself, you're doing other things, and then you'll learn from that, and then maybe you'll in turn push yourself and wear different hats. Actually, I know we were joking before about hats, but, you know, put on your writer's hat and write the best story you can write, then step over here and try to interpret it with the art, and then sometimes, you know, you can be symbiotic, of course, because it's words and pictures. But yeah, no, I've had a pretty good time with my collaborations and not tried to push the project further than what was written on the page, if possible.
Nice. You know? 90% of podcasting is arguing about Foggy Nelson. It's a little known fact, insider fact. Great. You, sir. A question from you, sir.
You're an asshole.
So, Red Hook's out on Image Comics.
Yes, it is.
I was wondering if you remember the first Image Comics title you bought.
The first title I bought?
Yeah. First Image
title. Well, the first Image Comics were the six or seven hot dogs that split Marvel.
That's
DC.
A great way of saying it.
Right? I mean, basically. So I probably bought the first issues of most of those guys' comics, like Spawn, Savage Dragon, which is still going, and he's only getting better, Eric Larson.
It's amazing. He's the only
one. And now he's like a pornographic artist. It's incredible what he's doing. It's fantastic.
He definitely is going in that direction.
He really is.
Sometimes it's a little creepy.
It's a little creepy, but hey, you know, it's. You ever see him draw? Everybody, when you go home tonight, go on the internet, type in Eric Larson drawing. Look for a video. He draws like this.
Oh, wow.
You've seen it, right? I don't know how he sees what he's drawing because he's blocking his own hand. Anyway.
He doesn't need to see it anymore.
He doesn't need to see it.
It comes out.
That's right.
That's how he pictured it.
But I probably bought a lot of the first issues. And then that was the 90s, right? And I started reading comics in the mid-70s. And then the 80s was my golden years. You know, John Byrne was actually my Jack Kirby, you know?
Oh, wow.
And so I think by the 90s, I started to kind of wane on a lot of the superhero stuff, and then I started to read more of the independent stuff, and I started to get much more into that kind of vibe, and then came back to superhero comics again later, you know, dabbled a little bit, and that's what Image was at first, was a lot of, like, superhero stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And now Image is the third largest comic book publisher, and they are publishing some of the most incredible comics being made.
Yeah,
today.
Across really the board, are. Yeah, it's absolutely really, really great stuff.
And in fact, I was a little surprised that Eric Stevenson took on the Red Hook because, you know, of the superhero stuff. But he said it was different enough, you know? So, yeah, all right, let's try it out, you know?
That's great. I think we have time for one more question for you, sir. Please come on right to the same spot where everyone else is going.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Pablo.
Getting to the first question. but I'm a little way. Well, since New York has an incredible history with comics, I was wondering what makes a superhero comic in New York so interesting?
Nice.
Well, first of all, it's fucking New York, so...
I was just going to say...
pretty cool. We live here.
Yeah.
The answer, really, weirdly enough, is that it's a superhero that that is in New York City. I mean, if you come to New York and you experience... First of all, I've made many friends that always say to me, when I first came to New York, and I always feel jealous.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, you're born here.
What's it like to come to New York City for the first time? I don't know. I've always been here, you know? So, I mean, it sounds obnoxious, but...
No, I think that's a very valid point. I grew up way up in the country, and coming here, I was
like, remember?
Holy shit.
Yeah?
I remember my first trip here, and I was like, this is fucking crazy. I was in college. I was like, maybe 2018 and went to a Chinese restaurant where they just gave us a bunch of booze. And then we wandered around and people were like, don't make eye contact with anyone. I was like, okay, that's very hard.
That is very hard.
And like I snuck a little bit, and then one dude did sort of yell at me for looking at it. I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
And it was his own reflection.
Yeah, exactly. But truly, it's a magical place. I think, I mean, on your side, though, someone who's always lived here, that must have its own sort of, how do you look at New York?
When you travel, it's got to be interesting.
It's
right? Weird.
Okay, so, not that we're going to get into politics or anything, but, you know, with the recent administration, I had no idea how little I knew about America, to be honest.
Right.
So, when I do travel, the Comic-Cons and whatnot, and go to different states, you know, usually what I'm actually experiencing is a comic book convention center in some hotels,
right,
to be honest. But when I go to New Orleans, for instance, because I know the locals, I get to see New Orleans.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's an incredible space. So you start to fall in love with certain, you know, spaces outside of New York, but I've been living in a bubble all my life.
Yeah.
You know, New York, I...
A glorious bubble, but
it's a glorious bubble, but a bubble, I mean, it's just, I was positing at one point that New York is its own country, and that's one of the things that led to New Brooklyn, you know, and it got that kind of John Carpenter twist, you know, that Escape from New York kind of feel, you know, like,
yeah.
But I don't, it's a broad question because it's also a hard question to answer. And really it's just putting a character with a conflict or a need or something in a space. And that's what dictates the terms in a lot of ways, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you represent New York in an authentic way, and you represent the character's needs in an authentic way, is what will rise from that will tell you about New York City.
Yeah, and I would also say, if you're writing something, you're like, I want this character to have every option for storytelling. I'm not going to be like, I think Tampa's the way to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. I'm going to put him in fucking New York City where all sorts of stuff can happen.
Yeah. Anything can happen.
That to me is the biggest.
But the limitations, I'm not saying Tampa's limited, but if you went into a small town, like I did a story with the Fox, and I suggested that the Fox grew up in a small town, a place called Beaverkill that I made up, and there were limitations to what I could do. And as a New Yorker, I was like, oh, wait a second, I can't do what I usually can do.
Yeah, yeah. You have
now
to really
I
got to
deal with these other, you know, complications.
Yeah. Oh, this small town has a bodega? What?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Beaverkill bodega.
Yeah. Beaver.
I kind of, when I first came to the city, I had the opposite where I swore I would never come back to the city. Because I was in college and my friend lived in New York City. And I was like, oh, I'll meet you there. And this was before cell phones. And she was like, all right, meet me on the corner of, like, right outside of Penn Station. Meet me on, like, 33rd and 7th. And I got off the train, and there were so many people, I panicked.
She's still waiting for you.
Yeah, I panicked, and I was like, how the
Romeo
fuck am I going to find my friend? I like, ran down the steps and found, like, a phone, called her home, talked to her mom, and was like, she said to meet her here. I'm there. There's no way to find her. Do you know anything else? And she was like, yeah, she's standing by the... And I ran back up and she was
How
like,
did that mom know?
And I was like so fucking scared of just the swarms of people because I'd never been to a real city. Like I went to Ithaca College and then...
Not a real city.
But but it's funny.
Decidedly not a city.
No, but... When I first moved to Brooklyn, because I grew up in Manhattan,
right?
You
were like, "Who is country?"
It was. I called it the country.
Yeah.
And I heard quiet for the first time, and it scared me. Yes. I remember I was in my bed, laying there, and my bedroom, and there's two rooms before it hits the street, right? Mm-hmm. And I heard someone, and I'm three stories up, and I heard someone walking on the street, and it was like a horror film for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy crap.
I needed the white noise of people screaming and dying. Yeah.
It's like that My Cousin Vinny moment where the only time he can sleep is when he's in the jail cell because he feels like he's in
country mouse, city mouse. Look at us. We get along. Yeah. Before we move on, Dean, you want to pick your favorite audience question, and they are going to get a crisp copy of The Red Hook.
I need to think of a question.
You don't have to ask, just the one that you...
What's my middle name? Nobody knows.
No, you don't have to ask them a question.
Oh, sorry. Which
you pick the one. There are four questions. Which one did you like the best? Yeah. And they get the copy.
Oh, I get to pick somebody who already asked the question.
Yeah. This isn't a trivia about you.
Yeah. So I'm glad we finally got there. I was worried.
Eli has one. Holly has one. You too. Sorry, I'm canceling you guys. Do you have one?
What are you talking
Pablo?
About?
Pablo?
Just pick your favorite question. You don't have to poll
everybody. No, but I know some people have it.
Yeah, cool. Don't give it to them.
Well, they can give it to somebody else.
Look at all the other people you don't know here.
You don't have it, and do you have it? Can you guys fight each other?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Do something.
You're going to make two audience fight each other.
I'm tear it in half, and you guys can fight Joker style.
Well, can you ask them something?
What is this? This isn't a fucking...
I'm sorry.
It's very simple.
They both ask questions.
All right, I'm going to put it right here, and the first one to get it.
No, that's definitely damaging to it.
Oh, shit. Whoa!
Oh my God, Pablo just jumped from the second row.
People are fighting.
Holy crap.
Above the top rope.
Now describe that melee.
Oh my God.
It was, let me be honest.
I got really scared.
It was stressful.
I'm like, holy shit. Pablo's a big guy. I was really worried.
Great. Thanks, Dean, for really testing the insurance capabilities.
Dean, we talked about this ahead of time. You looked right at me. You're like, yeah. Whichever question I like better. Okay.
I got this.
Holy shit, Dean.
Pete, let's move on and do a very hasty Weekend Geek.
Yes.
Yeah. Dee-dee-dee.
Let's talk about Luke Cage.
Yes. Pete wants to talk about Luke Cage.
All right. So Luke Cage back for season 2. You get worried when you love something so much that then the next season comes out. It's kind of like when a movie comes out and they make a sequel. Will it be as good? I think they did an amazing job of making this better than the first season, which if you would have told me that, I would have said, fuck you, it's not possible. The music is better. They have these beautiful shots of Harlem. They're better. There's one shot of Luke Cage like overlooking Harlem with the sun setting. It's phenomenal. The acting, the cast, it's unbelievable.
It's all better. How does it fit in the power rankings of all the Marvel Netflix?
I think for me, it might overtake number one. But I mean, for
number
Punisher,
one, could you be a little clearer?
I think Punisher was the best.
And for those of you listening, Pete did touch the Punisher shrine that he teaches, that he keeps here. He touched the hat and slippers and I think an old t-shirt of some
sort. It's not old.
Sure. All of it looks pretty old.
But yeah, I think it's definitely number two. It really did an amazing job. Boothman Prime saw it up till episode 10. Boothman Prime, your thoughts? You want to share?
Sweet Christmas.
Yes.
Oh my God, I actually agree with Pete. I think it's my favorite of the Netflix seasons.
Yeah,
great. I hope you're touching.
I'm not finished with it yet, but it's crazy. It's the one of the Netflix shows that I feel like takes advantage of what they've built so far.
Yeah, it really does. And explores the best part of the characters. Plus, like Misty Knight is now rocking her kind of like a bionic arm, which was really I was looking forward to, and. The new villain, just unbelievable. Just
they,
really destroyed
they
it.
Fix Iron Fist for the most part.
Yeah, Iron Fist got really less annoying.
May I add to the geek?
Yeah, please. That's what you're here for.
So, Chris Miskevich is a friend of mine, and he's a comic book writer as well. And he wrote Thomas Alsop for Boom couple of years ago. It was a miniseries. Yeah. And he's also an actor, and he was the stand-in for Iron Fist for season 2.
Oh, wow. Shit.
And I don't know anything. Wink. About anything.
Man, I don't know if you guys heard that wink, but there's something going on here.
I don't know if I should be nervous or excited.
Probably both.
Yeah.
And that's all the time we have for Weekend Geek.
Yeah,
all
right.
Let's bring out Pete LePage, the star of trivia, to give us a little bit of trivia.
All right, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand will happen, and then you will... Oh, casual hand up guy, why don't you come on down? Come on, casual hand up guy. Justin, we're going to need your microphone.
Great, let me pass you this mic. And keep in mind, you are on stage with the Romeo to your Juliet, the star of trivia, Mr. Pete LePage.
Sorry that you have to deal with that. He's kind of a douche. So today's trivia is on fun Dean facts. So as long as you know everything about Dean, you will be fine. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 is yours.
Dean moving into the crowd for some reason. Maybe.
Yeah. Dean just
quit. A little unclear.
Yep. Okay, here we go.
Question. Breaking the fourth wall in a weird way.
Oh, well, first off, I'll remind everybody, what's your name again?
Eli.
Eli, audience, Eli.
Woo-woo.
We're rooting for Eli here.
Right.
Whoop, oh. Easy. Take it easy. Sorry. Take it easy. Okay.
Wow.
What HBO show was Dean an illustrator for? Is it A, Bored to Death, B, Sopranos, or is it C, Dream On? So it's either
wow.
A,
Dream On.
Bored to Death.
A. Yeah, that is correct. Bored to Death is correct.
Nice.
Thank you.
And if you're paying attention at all, you'll know this second one. What website did Dean help pioneer? Is it A, Comixology, B, Activate, or is it C, People of Walmart? So it's either A or it's B.
B.
Correct.
Activate.
You don't have to overthink this, all right? All right, here we go. Last one. Dean has worked on movies like American Splendor, but what is also true? Is it A, that he is a playwright, B, that he was born in New York City, or is it C, Luke Cage season 2 is fucking amazing? And either, all of those are correct, so you just got to say one of them.
A.
A is correct. That's right. He's also a playwright, which is pretty badass. $25 free.
Before Eli leaves the stage, you mentioned American Splendor.
Yes, I did.
Have we all seen American Splendor?
You should.
Most of us.
It's pretty amazing.
So there's a scene early on where R. Crumb is introduced to Harvey Picar and R. Crumb meet. You know who introduces him in the movie and plays that character?
No.
Eli.
Oh, what?
Eli
That's amazing.
Plays the guy.
Yes.
And Eli was in my play, Harry Carey Kane.
Oh, wow.
So he's an
a plant.
Actor.
I'm a plant.
Yeah. He's a plant, is what you're saying.
I'm going to give it to somebody
else. Enjoy your $25, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you, Eli. Thank you,
Eli.
That's the best guest on our show. Bring your friends, and they'll scam us for some money. That's what being a guest on a Comic Book Club is all about. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they are nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to in the comic book realm tomorrow?
There's this little unknown book called Saga that I really enjoy. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Great. Anything you want to say about it?
It's dope.
Cool. Very illustrative for our audience members who don't know what that is. I am looking forward to, I don't know, Sex Criminals number 25 comes out tomorrow. That's a big issue.
You're really into sex crimes, are you?
I am into seeing other people do sex crimes, so I don't have to.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
Safe
way to live your life.
Exactly. Practice safe sex criminals. it's been a fun, this is a sort of a landmark issue, I believe, and I think we're going to get to see a lot of characters come back together. Dean, what are you looking forward to?
Kill or Be Killed, number 20.
I mean, that's what I'm truly looking forward to, but I wanted you to say it.
Thank you so much for giving that to me.
It's the last issue of the series.
Last issue of the series. Ed Brubaker is a guy I know from way back in the day, and he's been literally killing it with this series and anything he writes, actually.
Truly.
And Sean Phillips is the artist.
Yes.
And, who's the colorist?
Elizabeth.
Brightweiser?
Brettweiser. I don't know what to say.
Incredible.
Just a stunning book, top to bottom, and it has...
spoil it for him.
I'm not spoiling it.
You have read it. I haven't read it. And even the ending of 19, I don't even want to spoil for those.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Start
and there's
the beginning.
One more issue? How is this what? So, anyway, I'm really excited by it. It's been a great series. And I believe their next effort is a graphic novel. And is this also being turned into a TV show, this comic book?
Unclear, potentially. He sort of is very coy about all his Hollywood projects.
Because he is working on a TV show, original TV show, with the guy who directed Drive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Reffin.
You know, I feel like it very much could be. And he's working on that original graphic novel and then a new follow-up to The Fade Out. Different story, same world.
Great, great series. Please pick it up. It's fantastic. You'll be happy.
And plug your stuff as well.
Oh, so, pick up, please, The Red Hook that just came out a few weeks ago, a graphic novel. Read War Cry online webtoon for free, which is the sequel. And I start drawing for the next 13 months. the third story of the Red Hook trilogy called Starcross. And I believe, hopefully, we haven't announced it yet, but I think it'll launch Valentine's 2019.
Very cool. If you don't have plans, sign up for the Dean and Justin Tour of Dean, which we will feature heavily on Valentine's Day. Bring your sweetheart. It's going to be a hell of a walk around Sonny's from bar to chair to bar.
That's right.
Guys, that's a show. Please, a couple of you want to thank before we go. We want to thank Dean for being here.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you.
I want to thank Boothman
Pride.
I want to thank Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. I want to thank you guys, our lovely audience. We are here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. If you want to support us, we have a hat in the corner. Throw some bucks in. Check us out at patreon.com/comicbookclub for our virtual hat. Thank you so much again, and we'll see you next time. Good
night. Thanks, guys. Thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening at home.
And they let the secrets leak. An occasion of the day.